The Starting Lineup with Tyler Ivins and Will West on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
We didn't guard him in the second half, but the other thing that we did do in the second half, we took care of the ball better, and we scored 42 points. Mm-hmm. But it goes back, we were fighting uphill, and I'm just really disappointed tonight in the second half of the way we defended.
Hey, I would say disappointment is a pretty solid word there by Rick Barnes when it comes to yesterday's performance in Fayetteville. 86-69, Arkansas all over Tennessee. And I think all over is actually a great phrase to put what happened between the Vols and Razorbacks into perspective. As we welcome you back, 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal. Tennessee cut the lead down to two in the second half. They were getting to the free throw line, but not hitting their free throws. I mean, the Vols last night, 63% from the free throw line, 23% from beyond three. So it's kind of the same medicine Tennessee takes anytime that they lose. People are turning over the basketball. People are missing three-pointers. I mean, for example, just for an example, when Vescovi has more turnovers than made three-pointers, Tennessee is likely going to lose this game. Santiago Vescovi last night, as exciting as he can be for this Tennessee team, still a work in progress. Will, five turnovers. Eric Kane, 0-for-4 from three. Tennessee with 10 turnovers that led to 18 points in the first half.
And look, he wasn't supposed to play, so I'm not trying to rip the guy. And he stepped in and has played admirably, but he had as many assists as added last night.
Yeah, not good. And
no, let that sink in for a second.
Yeah.
I mean, he's supposed to be Lamonte Turner, who's supposed to replace Lamonte.
He's the point guard, and he had a tough night.
Yeah. You have Joe James at the same time, who's supposed to be, you know, giving him a little bit of a reprieve sometimes, and guess what? Joe James can't stay healthy right now, so it's kind of just a whole ball of a mess right now for Tennessee basketball.
And Josiah James really, really struggling right now. And again, he's been battling injuries. He's not been healthy at all. He's missed so much practice time. But at the end of the day, putting up an effort of 0 points, 2 rebounds, and nearly 26 minutes of work. And again, we, you know, with Lamonte turnaround, with Jordan Bowden struggling for most of the season, Jordan Bowden had a heck of a game last night, 19 points. But you're counting on Josiah Jordan James, and really he's just not brought it this year. It's been a tough year for him. That's what Rick Barnes said on Monday. It was a tough night for Santiago Vescovi. Finished with 6 points, but really those 6 points didn't come until late in that ball game either. But at the end of the day, Tyler, going back to what you said to start things up, when Tennessee, you know, the recipe for failure, you know, turning the ball over, missing free throws, and not taking advantage of those little things, and it doesn't help you when you fall behind 14-1 right out of the gate. Tennessee scored the first point of the game and then didn't score another point until after the 16 and under timeout. Rick Barnes talked about that post game about how this team just can't afford to get out the slow starts.
It's the same old record. We keep talking about it. Again, it's just guys that aren't doing what they need to do, just not executing, just understanding at the start of the game, especially on the second go-round, they're going to have, like they were working hard to keep Santi to his right, which we that's what they're going to do. We knew they're going to get him into ball screens. But it's the turnovers. You know, they knocked the ball loose in there a couple times, and, you know, I think we were 11-1 to start or something like that. Yeah, but they just, just knocking the ball loose. And that's where we knew that when the ball got in there, we talked about it yesterday, that, hey, they're gonna be so concerned about us inside, which they should be. But at the start of the game, we weren't as sharp as we needed to be.
Yeah, give Tennessee credit. Did battle back, made things really interesting. What is a 2-point game there early on?
Three times I was going to flip the TV off and let the DVR catch it. And each time I was like, man, there's got to be something better on. It'd be, oh, here comes a run
in that second half. But ultimately, Arkansas shot 50% in the second half. And again, 37 points from Mason Jones. What a night. He was 11 of 19 from the field. But Rick Barnes even said at postgame, a lot of his points came off the charity stripe. He was 12 of 15 from the free throw line. Both Jones and Isaiah Joe scored 24 points from the free throw line. And Arkansas really used that to its advantage against Tennessee, where, Tyler, you already pointed out, 17 of 27 freebies. So Tennessee, not a good start on the road, didn't take advantage of doing what it's supposed to by making its free throws, costly turnovers, not getting production from its point guard position, kind of a recipe for failure last night. And so Tennessee will have to regroup again. It'll have a home contest against Florida. It'll be on the road against Kentucky and on the road against Auburn for the final three games before Tennessee ventures on to Nashville for that SEC tournament.
All right, let me ask you, are you guys any concern that moving forward, like, is this just 1 year blip in the road or bump in the road because of injuries that happened because of the graduations and everything's fine moving forward, or any concern moving forward?
No. Should I have some concern? Sure, because that would be a fool not to be. But I think that this is something with extra practice for Vescovi, with more time spent together, getting these guys on the same page, they're going to be fine. I mean, look, you're going to see Josiah James take the next step next year as a sophomore. He's going to get help with some of the recruits that are coming in. And look, if you're a Tennessee fan, you should be kind of excited about the way things are going to look next year. Another year of Fulkerson. You know, you've got the big man who's going to learn a little bit more about, you know, kind of how the way things are played in the SEC. I'm not taking a shot at the Pac-12 or Arizona State, but now that the guy put some weight on, I mean, at Plazovic, he was down 25 pounds. That's why he redshirted his freshman year. Let him get used to the system in Knoxville, all right?
I thought he played some good minutes last night.
He did, but where's the consistency?
No, exactly. I mean, it's never been that. This has been probably his best game, really, since Mississippi State.
Yeah.
He's not played well since Mississippi State.
He's not ready. He's not ready. Yeah. And that's just
the point.
There are some guys that are just, by the time they're juniors, they're going to be good. And that's okay. You know, the Peyton Sivas of the world that,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Their freshman year, they're not going to give you much of anything. Their sophomore year, they give you a little more. And by the time they're a junior, they're a difference maker for you.
To me, next year, you bring in some of the big men on top of the recruits that you have. Look, I think Tennessee is going to be fine next year. It's just been this is a prime example of what do you do to try to replace four NBA guys in Tennessee right now, having difficulties replacing four NBA guys.
Yes. What do you do?
For me, too. And I mean, Vescovi's a guy that can go and score. Okay, he's exciting to watch. But you think when you have a really good team, you know, Grant Williams can go and score at will. Admiral Schofield could score at will. Jordan Bone could actually score at will at points in time last year.
Especially by the end of the year, Jordan Bone had the fastest first step I've ever seen in Tennessee basketball history. And he finally started using it to his advantage and was aggressive with the ball towards the end of last year.
And then you had Turner and Bowden. So right there, that's five guys. I don't know, that's a team that won 31 games last year. I mean, that's a great team. But you had five guys where you're like, okay, ball in their hands. You know, you can get some points here. You look at this ball club. Outside of Bowden right now, Vescovi, I mean, who else?
And let's be real,
Bowden's had a poor shooting year.
Right now, the last two games. But, I mean, outside of those two guys right now, who are you confident in that said, okay, we can get some buckets here this possession? So Tennessee just needs to create some depth and find some other shooters, find some other scorers. Yes, the recruiting class coming in next year is going to help out a lot. Yes, it's very young right now. Having Fulkerson and Ponce back will help as well. But Tennessee's got to create some depth on the offensive end. Got to find some more shooters, to be completely honest. So Tennessee falls last night, now under 500 in SEC record at 7-8, 15-13 overall. We'll be back in action on Saturday. Rick Barnes will meet with the media tomorrow afternoon. We'll have video and audio of that online at sportsradiownml.com. Today's UT basketball practice report is brought to you by Pools by Heritage. Get your pool started now, from design to construction to maintenance. One call does it all. Call Pools by Heritage, 947-7527, or visit online at poolsbyheritage.com.
A lot more to get into before 9 a.m. this morning. Not only is there going to be a star pitch cut and more chances for you to score inside the game, but the Coors Light climb to the championship. You can see the balls in Nashville. All this talk about the hoops, we'll have it for you, postseason edition, all before 9 a.m. on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
All right, just talking about it right there. Tennessee battled back briefly in the second half, but ultimately fell to Mason Jones in Arkansas, 86-69 wins the night in Fayetteville. Jones finished with 37 points, while Vols were led by Jordan Bowden's 19 in the loss. Elsewhere around the conference, Florida took care of LSU 81-66, Missouri handled Vanderbilt 61-52, and Georgia fell to South Carolina in overtime 94-90. Around the country, number 9 Maryland came back to beat Minnesota on a last-second shot 74-73. 12th-ranked Villanova defeated St. John's 71-60, and number 16 Penn State avoided an upset at home 65-64. Over Rutgers. Tennessee baseball, a big win last night, 12-1 over UNC Asheville to improve to 9-0 on the season. Alex Solari, Connor Pavloni, Evan Russell all went yard in the win. And tonight, it'll be Lady Vols senior night. Lou Brown and Kamara Harris will be honored as Lady Vols host Ole Miss at 7 o'clock. Love Keno to go? There's more to love when you add Bullseye for your chance to win up to $300,000. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play your way today. 7:10, get a check of the roads. Pete Michaels traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
They did what we thought they would do. We felt we'd guard their actions, which we did. We knew it forced them into some ISOs, but they made shots.
All right, 99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal. A lot of comments on social media, even on the personal text line today about Tennessee and their struggles last night. 17-point loss at the hand of Arkansas.
Look, man, it is what it is at this point.
Oh, Mike reaches out today and says that Tennessee has to get a point guard that can push the pace. Vescovi hurts Tennessee so much with his pace of play. And when Viscovia first came over and got cleared by the NCAA, he even said he's got to get used to the length of the floor here in America, well, in the NCAA.
And Barnes said, we didn't know, we don't know if he's going to play. I mean, the expectation was that Viscovia wasn't going to play this year.
Can I take you back to his comments a couple of days ago? Do you believe that if this team was healthy and that it was completely intact from the get-go, that we'd be talking, singing a different tune right now?
Well, it'd be 2021 win team, probably after the SEC tournament's over. Barnes schedules well enough that you probably got yourself into the tournament, and then it's a first weekend out, if you even make it to the weekend. And that's what you'd have, and we'd say, okay, cool. That's what we expected, and then next year, here come the reinforcements. That's what I think this team would be if that had been the case. If Josiah Jordan-James doesn't deal with the, which again, what is with this jabroni on SEC Network constantly calling him Joe James?
I think it's just him putting his own stamp on it.
Yeah, it is.
He has to deal with the groin injury.
And that guy, usually I don't like wild and crazy wacky guy, but he's actually not bad. What's his name? Played at Florida, and I can't remember his name. There was a two guard there. That's the guy with Peter Burns on SEC Network.
He always has the obnoxious pocket square.
Yeah. I don't like that Kyle Brandt guy on NFL Network. Eric, if I ever have to look at him again, that'll be too many times. But Patrick something, I don't know. He's not bad though. But if Josiah Jordan James is healthy, if he's healthy, if Lamonte Turner's healthy, if they don't have to deal with those issues, and then I think the Tennessee could have been a 20-win team. And squeaked into the tournament, and I think we'd ought to have been like, all right, that's fine. And everybody would have said, okay, cool. I don't see a lot of people losing their minds about this basketball team right now. I just think what's just worse is that they've just resigned themselves to this is what it is, and wake me up next year when the basketball team, you know what I mean, starts winning again. But we know Tennessee basketball. We've seen it with four coaches now. You guys will pack the stands. Tennessee will have a great home court environment, and they're going to support this team, and next year when things are better for Tennessee, I expect Tennessee to be a 24-25 win team next year.
24-25?
Yeah, I do. I think Tennessee's going to be not just better next year, but far better next year. Again, your point guard, your only point guard wasn't supposed to play. Right? Like, that's what you're dealing with is a guy who got cleared late and wasn't supposed to play.
And Barnes wasn't going to play him even when he got cleared.
Yeah. Barnes, and he said it. He told us.
And I mean, to his credit, too. I mean, you're talking about a guy that literally just showed up and was in the starting lineup a week later. Barnes said he doesn't know our system. He doesn't know anything. He's not in shape. As you point out, the court size was different from where he was playing. And so, I mean, the guy wasn't supposed to play at all. And, you know, seeing what he's done this year at all
is incredible. Kind of
surprising. Yeah, it's been surprising. But the turnovers, so frustrating, could be so easily fixed, but they continue to be an issue. And that's just something you hope that he will grow out of the more he practices, the more that he's in the program and as you continue on.
So I look at next year and I just think that Gaines is going to be not just better, but a good bit better.
Gaines had a good night last night.
So it's these guys are going to be better. I mean, you're getting who you're losing.
I just
about,
don't know if I'm ready for 25 wins.
I just think the margin between 25 and 18 is not that big.
Oh, come on. We're talking about 7 wins here.
We are, but I think that...
Like, I can do simple math, but, Will, I mean, some of these wins this year, like, okay, maybe the A&M game doesn't happen.
The A&M game, I would say, is one that you look at. You're probably not getting housed.
Mississippi State?
You're not getting housed by Mississippi State, Georgia.
Okay, I'll give you Georgia, I'll give you A&M, but I'm not going to give you Mississippi State.
You don't think Mississippi State, that would be something that you could win next year? You've got a full complement of players. You're adding new five stars in. I just think that you're not probably losing the Cincinnati game, the Wisconsin game, the Memphis game. You're not losing those games, I don't think, if you've got next year's roster and a full offseason with all these dudes and a healthy, like, even
I'll go halfsies with you. I can see you saying 22-23.
Even into the last the last time that Josiah Jordan-James got injured again, even into that, there was talk that maybe he could still be a first-round pick because of what his potential is. Like, that's how bad the injuries have derailed him.
25, man. If you told me to set the mark right now
for next year,
I'd take the under.
24 and a half. You'd take the under 24 and a half?
I'd still take the under.
Jaden Springer, Keon Johnson,
I know who's
Corey
coming.
Walker.
Yeah, I know who's
how
coming.
Many five star, yeah, how many freshmen are like, all they got to do, though, was be this. It's a Celtics situation. All I need you to do is be the seventh and eighth man on the team. That's what you're asking for these five-star guys. Sold. That's not bad at all. And if they end up being better than that, cool. But, I mean, we have a problem around here that when we get a five-star in East Tennessee, you know, at the University of Tennessee, we expect that guy to step in and all of a sudden he's Zion, right? Or R.J. Barrett. When, for whatever reason, people killed Scottie Hobson. We've always done that.
Sure.
And so next year, I think there's a little more understanding. And I think as long as those guys are contributing, you're 8 deep next year, period, maybe 9 deep next year with guys you feel pretty comfortable with another year for Vescovi, another year for
Juroš Plavšić. I see the uptick in talent. Tennessee will hands down be 1,000% better than they were this year. I just would hate to put unrealistic expectations on a program that, hey, listen, some of those guys are going to have to go through some of the freshman woes just like Josiah James did this year. Okay, and I don't know if with a magic wand in 6 months, Santiago Vescovi is going to be able to clean up his turnover problems.
Oh, see, I think Santiago Vescovi, I think what he's done has been spectacular so far. The fact that he was even capable of doing what he's doing right now, and I think just imagine if you had a full year with that guy, like how much better he could be. I think Santiago Vescovi can be an NBA player. He's got to be faster with that shot, and he's got to stop shooting it at his chest. And a lot of times when you see a guy change his shot, it becomes a problem. But I do think that I do think that it can be he can be a lot better next year.
Right.
Josiah Jordan James can be a lot better next year. The guys on the block will be a lot better next year. And you're talking about four guys you feel really comfortable in rotation on the block next season. I just think that you got next year, I think it's going to be pretty nice.
25 wins, you're playing for the SEC championship in the regular season.
Or you're in the conversation. I think they're in the conversation. Does that make sense? I think they're probably
Tennessee a top three team next year.
In the SEC?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Kane, are you willing to go that far? Tennessee goes from middle of the pack to top three next year?
I think it's knocking on the door.
Top three.
Florida's going to fall to face the earth, right? So Florida falls off the face of the earth, and
I'm not ready to say that yet. I'm not ready to go there yet. Fall off the face of the earth.
LSU falls back a little bit as well.
See, I'm just a big believer in karma when it comes to LSU. I think eventually Will Wade's going to get his
rear end bit. Balls don't lie. Balls eventually not going to lie.
Yeah, eventually, and he's going to get bit somewhere, and then his team's going to get put on sanctions.
Can Auburn do it again?
Right now, if you told me right now, Tyler, Tennessee is going to be a top three team, and it's guaranteed to happen, then I'll say then Auburn and Kentucky need to make room. I'm a firm believer, obviously, in Cal, and I'm a firm believer in Bruce.
Yeah.
My question is right now, who's Tennessee fighting the three spot for? And right now, I believe it's Florida.
It's Florida.
The other team?
Or LSU.
Ooh, I was going to say Mississippi State.
Maybe Mississippi State would be the fourth one. I think
Ben Howland is just too darn good of a coach to just keep playing in the kiddie pool of sixth, seventh place. I still think that Ben Howland still has a chance to get his team.
He's got to schedule a little better.
He does, and I think
he knows better than that, man. He knows better than that.
This is where you're going to see them shine. If you told me right this second, feet to the fire, and I know we have people listening to this program who wink a lot, Mississippi State can win that SEC tournament in Nashville. You think I'm nuts? You think I'm crazy? Hey, Wyvins is just falling off the wagon again.
I think you're nuts.
Yeah.
Put him against who? Like, sure, like, I'm telling you, you can't pick Auburn, you can't pick Kentucky.
How many games in a row? Like, they just haven't been consistent for more than two games in a row all season long.
If I told you could take the
heavyweights. They're going to win three in a row, and that is a lot.
I'm telling you to take the heavyweights out of the conversation. And I know that's not fair, but I'm saying for the sake of the conversation.
Outside of the heavyweights, outside of the top three, they have an equal chance with Florida.
Mississippi State can beat LSU. Mississippi State can beat Florida. And then all of a sudden, if somebody else helps them out along the way, maybe they're not playing Auburn or Kentucky on Sunday. I'm just saying. These are some of the teams I'm looking at. 656-9900.
Will Wade still coached at LSU.
Yeah, I know.
And that guy at Penn just got 15 years. A 15-year show cause. Will Wade's still coaching.
What's the bigger head-scratcher in sports to you right now? Watching Altuve and Springer come to the plate every time and get booed, or every time Will Wade leaves or enters the locker room, somebody yells, you should be in prison, Will.
So I will say,
Will West.
He has handled that, well, back in the day.
Yeah.
He has handled that as well as you possibly can, but it's just a matter of what he did is far worse than what that guy at Penn did, right?
Yeah.
The guy at Penn was part of that Varsity Blues thing. He faked that he was recruiting a guy to get the guy into school and then didn't want the guy on his team, and he got money for it. To me, that's a good no. Should he get a show cause? Yes. But given strong bleeping offers and things like that, and we got you on tape saying that you did that, how in the world? I'm sorry. That's what Will Wade did is worse than what the guy at Penn did.
656-9900. 1-866-656-9900. Your phone calls and a lot more before the end of hour number two. We have to get to five burning questions. So much more to dive into. So much so, Eric Kane, I turn to you. We're going to give somebody an opportunity to score right now. The Coors Light Climb to the championship. All this talk about the National SEC Tournament. Right now, if you're calling number four, we're going to get you qualified. That's $500 spending cash, two tickets to every session. Yes, that is Wednesday through Sunday right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Story about Billy Joe and Bobby Sue. Two young lovers.
I got a story to tell you about Billy Joe and Billy Joe and Bobby Sue.
Yeah.
Billy Joe and Bobby Sue.
Most on love the classic rock heavy today on the bumpers.
Most love songs.
It's a throwback
I enjoy.
Thursday.
You a big love song guy?
Either way.
One of my favorite songs of all time include a story about Brenda and Eddie. Anybody who can tell me what song involves two people from high school getting married named Brenda and Eddie, I might buy you a drink of your choice if I ever catch you out of a watering hole. Don't Google it and then tweet me. But if you know the story about Brenda and Eddie in a particular song, which is my favorite song of all time, I might buy you a drink at a local watering hole.
All right.
There it is. Five burning questions coming up. Now, can I buy a W or is Kaner just going to throw me to the river?
Can you earn a W?
Shh, get out of here.
Head to head, toe to toe, mono a mono. It's time for five burning questions. Brought to you by Life Safety Inspections. Saving lives one extinguisher at a time. It's not just a motto, it's how we do business.
Things that are more annoying by the day. Tyler Ivins begging for a win in five burning questions instead of earning it.
It's Phil Jackson. I'm trying to work the officials ahead of the next game.
Three things I get asked almost on a daily basis. Why do I get jobbed during five burning questions? Where did you get that
because
awesome
you're
hat
annoying,
you're wearing?
That's why.
And what's your favorite cigar?
Those are your friends just being polite.
Because I'm annoyed, that doesn't mean my questions aren't wrong.
You mean your answers are wrong?
No. Questions are wrong. The answers are wrong.
Yeah, but mostly because you're annoying. But let's get to today's.
Your friends are just being polite.
Give us your pick for the top standout at the combine.
I'm going to say right now, I think Jonathan Taylor turns heads. Jonathan Taylor's 40 time. I think Jonathan Taylor in the bench press. I think Jonathan Taylor's agility. We might be looking at somebody. Yeah, I get it. I know what people are saying. Well, they went to the same school, Ivins. No, I think we have the next Melvin Gordon on our hands, and anybody who's got the stones to draft him in the late 20s, they've got a future Pro Bowler and stud on their hands.
Look, can he run 4.3s? That's the question. Otherwise, if he's in the 4.4s, that'll be good enough for him as well. The answer is Patrick Queen. He was probably the fifth best player on LSU's roster, and the expectations is as a linebacker at almost 240, he runs a 4.3. And if he does that, he's going to be picked in the teens. A guy that you barely know his name was on LSU's team last year. But he's going to be picked in the teens because he's going to run in the 4.3s at the combine, and he's going to be a household name out of this weekend.
Are you buying reports that the Lions or Redskins could draft Tua?
No, I look at Ron Rivera's comments yesterday as them saying we're open for business, right? And that you're not going to get a discount because we want to go after Chase Young. I think they draft Chase Young. I think they stay where they are. I think most people have him as the top player, period, on their big board. But I'm not buying that either of them do draft Tua. If he was healthy, it might be a different thing.
I do. I believe that the Lions might finally get a change of heart and say, we're tired of our franchise being garbage. And it might be time to find out, can we get something from Matt Stafford? Can we get a contract off our books? And can we actually turn the corner and actually do something with our franchise? Tua can be that difference maker. Redskins, not so much. More Detroit than Washington.
Tim Tebow is playing for the Philippines in the WBC qualifiers. If you had to choose another country to play for in an international event, who would it be?
I actually have a little bit of Italian in me, so I'd probably play for Team Italy.
Okay.
I'd play for Team Italy. I'd go out there, wear the cool hat because it's got the eye on it, so then I could be like, oh, eye for eye.
Be Mike Piazza.
And that has nothing to do with Piazza. It has more to do with the fact that I love the food and I love my heritage.
What am I trying to do, Kaner? I'm trying to roll at the beach, dude. What are you talking about? Fiji. This is how I'm going to do it. Fiji, American Samoa, something like that. No, find me an island nation out there where people aren't good at, I don't care, basketball. And I'll go be the best basketball player in Fiji if you need me to, or something like that. That's what I'm trying to do, is go to some island nation where I'm a better athlete than everybody else because everybody's 5'6", and hang out at the beach all day.
Today is National Chili Day. Is chili a soup?
Chili is not a soup. Chili is a stew. That's why they say soup and chili on the menus and things like that. It is listed with the soups a lot of times, categorized with the soups, but it is not specifically a soup itself. Chili is a stew.
The more you keep looking at it, is chili a soup? The simple question is, yes. Yes, it is. It's something that can be served in a bowl. It's something that can be slurped in your spoon. You can add other things to it like crackers and other awesome ingredients to make it a soup. To answer your question, it is a soup.
See, why it's not a soup is that you cook the meat ahead of time. You don't cook the meat within the broth. That's why it's not a soup.
Today is Wichita State head coach Greg Marshall's 57th birthday. Why do you think Marshall has never made the jump to a high major program?
Well, there's a couple reasons why, and I actually know the answer to this because I've talked to Greg Marshall about this before. Number one, he actually very much enjoys the state of Kansas. So does his wife. And just like every marriage, wives make a lot of the calls on who goes where. Also, those times he was going undefeated through the regular season, he even admitted that perhaps maybe he was waiting for that major program to part ways with a coach, a UCLA, a blue blood like Arizona. But guess what? It never happened. He's still trying to ride the roller coaster one more time and hopes another blue blood opens up.
He's making a ton of money at Wichita State, and no one's going to pay him to make that much more than he is right now because rumor is he's difficult. And so nobody wants to bring in a guy
that's not a rumor, that's fact.
Who is a problem, and you're going to pay him $5 million a year because that's what it would take. I don't think anybody wants to bring on a headache and pay that kind of money to do it.
Chili is not a soup.
It's not a soup.
It's not a soup. Never has been a soup. Never will be a soup. It's why,
as you point out, you say,
I could literally get chili. 4 out of 5 of these right, and he'd pick the one that he didn't agree with.
Well, that's the most important question on 5 Burning Questions.
Yes, chili is not a soup. Not at all. Pinto beans. Pot of beans. Is that a soup?
Remember when we were talking off the air about 3 weeks ago and you were like, you know, maybe we should, there's a lot of similarities amongst the world today when it comes to radio shows. Maybe we should clean some things up and tweak some things.
Yeah.
I think anything that involves Eric Kane ruling anything should be completely scrubbed off our show.
I would like
Chili's
to see.
Chili's got a soup, though. Cater's right.
If we could keep tally marks on how much Tyler Robbins cries every single morning. No one likes to hear it, man. That's why you lose all the time. Move on.
RK says, Ivins is the jabroni that calls him Joe James. Been doing it all season for some reason. Tyler Ivins, can you confirm or deny?
I've actually started calling Josiah James Joe James the last, 7 days.
Okay.
8 days. Because you know what? It's a mouthful. And when we have abbreviated segments to call him Josiah Jordan James.
I would try to make fetch happen with Joe James as well. Except for that one guy on SEC Networks a lot.
He's the who just texted you?
No, it was on the Twitter machine.
The Twitter machine?
RK says that.
RK, tell RK he's the same guy who probably gets mad at me for calling him non-con. Instead of saying the non-conference schedule, he gets mad when I call it non-con.
Call it non-con because I know him?
Yeah.
I always try to call somebody by their name because that's what their mother gave them, but you're right. That's such a mouthful. I wanted to get...
RK, is that RK Anderson?
I have no idea.
If it's RK Anderson, he's the guy who started hating on me because I started making all my money again on the bets. He was the guy who would remind me every time I lost a bet, and then I hit 12 in a row and he left me alone.
I wanted to get Triple J going. I think that'd be nice.
Triple J. I like Triple J.
Triple J.
I like Triple J. It's not bad.
I think it sounds like Joe James just seems kind of weird. Josiah Jordan James is such a mouthful.
Josiah's a really rad name, though.
I do like
Josiah. We're going to go old school name like that. Do you have a relative with an old school name? My grandfather was Edgar.
Wow.
Edgar's an old school name.
That is an old school name.
Do you have a relative with an old school name, Tyler?
Still alive?
Okay. Yeah, no.
No.
Okay.
I don't think I do either.
No, I'm just trying to think. No.
I had an aunt Colin.
No.
Uncle Rudy. I had a Rudy.
Rondell.
Rudolph was his first name.
My grandfather's name was Rondell.
Like, I'm not kidding. And so we called him Uncle Rudy. He's from Minnesota.
Yeah. Rondell Ivins. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a lot of those. I don't have a lot of those names.
I also have a great uncle whose name was Third Term Roosevelt the First.
Come again, Edgar Bottomtooth?
My great-grandmother on my dad's side, they owned bars and things like that, and there may have been some alcohol consumed, possibly even during pregnancy. But there was Third Term Roosevelt the First was my... I have an Uncle T and then a Little T.
You watched an episode of Family Guy, and you're making this up.
No. I got an Uncle T and a Little T. Okay. And that's what we call them, is because we have Third Term Roosevelt the Second.
Jeez. That's funny.
Life safety inspections.
Big if true.
LSITN.com for life safety inspections. Anything to do with fire inspections, they are the ones to call. Licensed inspectors, cell service installation, they do it all. Life safety inspections.
All right, a lot more for us to get into. Final 20 minutes of hour number 2 of the program.
I'm going to text Uncle T right now.
Cody, your phone call. A lot of tweets to get to as well here on the starting lineup. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
This is a Tennessee Education Lottery Sports Minute.
All right, Tennessee battled back briefly, but ultimately fell to Mason Jones in Arkansas 86-69 Wednesday night in Fayetteville.
We didn't guard him in the second half, but the other thing that we did do in the second half, we took care of the ball better, and we scored 42 points. Mm-hmm. But it goes back, we were fighting uphill, and I'm just really disappointed tonight. in the second half of the way we defended.
Assistant head coach Rick Barnes post-game, Mason Jones finished with 37 points, while the Vols were led by Jordan Bowden's 19 in the loss. Around the NFL, the Giants cut captain linebacker Alec Ogletree and will save over $8 million against the salary cap. Vikings are said to be in good position to re-sign free agent defensive end Evan Everson Griffin when the new league year begins. Yankee slugger Giancarlo Stanton may miss the start of the season with a strained right calf. Philadelphia fell to Cleveland in NBA play 108-94. VFL Tobias Harris scored 11 points in the loss. And Boston beat Utah 114-103. Love Canada Go? There's more to love when you add Bullseye for your chance to win up to $300,000. Stop by any Tennessee Lottery retailer and play today. 7:42, get a check of the roads. Pete Michaels traffic. Good morning. I'm Eric Kane.
Will West writes on Twitter at Will West WNML. Today is National Chili Day.
Yes.
Is chili a soup? 45% of the vote says yes.
And 55 says no.
But 45% of the vote says yes.
No, it's up to 56% right now say no. 44% say yes.
99.1, you're listening to the Sports Animal. Tyler Evans and Will West. The game coming up in the next couple of minutes. First, Cody's been waiting patiently.
Hey, thanks for hanging on, Cody, through the feature there, buddy.
Cody, 20, 30s, or 40s club? Where are you at?
Say again?
Cody, 20, 30, or 40s club? Where are you at? We need an age.
40 club.
That a boy. Very nicely done. What do you got for us?
First of all, chili. Not a soup or a stew. I think it's its own thing. I think it's like asking if a pizza is a sandwich. But that's a hot take. Second kind of big thing in the morning, and I don't want to get too far into the Bruce Pearl versus Rick Barnes kind of debate, but my question kind of is, what do you think the big difference is between the Auburn program and the Tennessee program from the standpoint of Auburn has seen kind of sustained success year in and year out, probably the last three, maybe 4 years? Whereas it seems like we're having these swings where we get a group of upperclassmen, they graduate, and then we're having this down year like we are this year. You know, where is that kind of that base of success that Auburn's seeing, and why have we not seen that with Rick Barnes in the Tennessee program yet? I appreciate you guys taking my call, and I'll hang up and listen.
I just did think it was a year where everybody left. That's honestly, Cody, is what I think. And with Bruce, it took him 3 years to kind of get going, and I think he had to change his system a little bit to what he has. And he didn't lose everybody like Tennessee lost everybody seemingly. And he's not dealt with the same level of injury quite as much. And Bruce is a great on-field coach. He really is. Great on-field coach. But there are going to be some things to Bruce. Let's be honest, right? Like barbecues and like what, you know, allegedly happened with Aaron Kraft's dad. And like Chuck Person getting taken out of your basketball office in handcuffs that you don't have to worry about with Rick Barnes. So it's and like there was and I do not remember who it was. It was one of those point guards that was at Texas that was there forever. One of the Canadian guys that went to Texas that said in an interview one time that we talked about right when Rick Barnes got hired here. Josh Ward found the story, and I don't remember who it was, but he was asked, why did you want to go to Texas? And he said, oh, because I didn't want to get paid. And so, and I know it would, you don't get paid with Rick Barnes. And so that's part of it too, is that if you're clean or as clean as you can, you know that you to your knowledge, you're clean.
Right.
You're probably not going to be quite as good, honestly.
Even with the shoe companies being pushed to the side and things seemingly, at least right now, being put on a level playing field, is the NCAA ever going to be completely squeaky clean?
No, the NCAA doesn't want to be clean.
And maybe we can call it what it is when we're comparing all of, you know, Pearl to Barnes right now, clean and who's not, and but it is what it is.
Look, I don't think Bruce is any dirtier than everybody else. I think everybody's dirty, right? But, I mean, at this point, we know about Coach K.
Sure.
At this point, we know about Bill Self. At this point, we know about what Roy was, at least.
Programs who things just kind of disappear.
You kidding
me? Talking about Auburn just disappearing?
Yeah, their stuff's just gone.
Yeah.
Like, Chuck Person gets taken out in handcuffs, and he's the only person that knew anything in that building?
Right.
Yeah, no,
yeah
of course
yeah,
not. But look, but Sean Miller, nobody's done anything. Will Wade, nobody's done anything. NCAA, if you and I in Knoxville, Tennessee know that Bill Self in Kansas are dirty and Sean Miller in Arizona are dirty. Do you think in Indy they don't know?
The running joke on this show is that I'm the last to know everything. And if I know,
I'm not saying again, and I'm not saying that Bruce is again any worse than everybody else, but Bruce knows how the game's played.
Sure.
And that's what you have to do to get players. And this is the going rate. And I don't know this to be true, but other players have said in the past that With Barnes, you just don't get that. And so it's you're going to have to cherry pick the guys that you get that are going to end up being good players. And that's the way that you're going to have to do it.
Casey on Twitter says, chili, it's a constant on the menu at the soup kitchen.
Yeah, but so are sandwiches.
A constant at the soup kitchen.
Sandwiches.
That's fine. There's other things that can be common, but they're all under the same umbrella.
You know what else Chick-fil-A sells right now? Sausage biscuits.
Yeah, again, because it's all under the same chicken. Window. It's under the same window.
Sausage and chicken?
No, I'm just saying that that's all under the
I don't breakfast. Think you're saying anything.
Breakfast. Breakfast right foods. No, breakfast foods. It's all under the same window.
Chili's a food as well as soup is.
Just letting you know, it's under the menu of the soup kitchen.
Tim says, if Tyler Ivins would have won this five burning questions, I would have boycotted the show.
You're welcome.
Justice is served.
Cater out there cleaning up the mean streets of five burning questions.
I'm here for the people.
Cater just climbing on top of the building, just putting his fist pinto to his
beans.
Hips.
Pinto beans. Soup. Bowl of pinto beans. Little cornbread. Is that a soup? Are you enjoying a bowl of soup with pinto beans and cornbread?
Maybe.
Okay. I say no. No, it's not.
Yeah. That's soup.
Even though it is cooked within the whole thing, the way the vegetables are normally within a soup or a stew. But when it has soups, chili does not have that much liquid either. So as much liquid either, that's why I say it's a stew. Because the difference between a soup and a stew is usually the meat's cooked outside, and or at least to some extent, and then it's cooked in a smaller amount of liquid than in a large, as opposed to a larger amount of liquid.
I don't eat pinto beans, so I'm not going to be that.
You don't eat pinto? You're from Jefferson City, and you don't eat pinto beans?
This is the guy right here. Not pinto beans, though. That is judging our five burning questions.
Man, Kaner. I don't think...
By the way, I'm not trying to bring yesterday topics on today's show.
We don't need that hurting your dad's political career.
Seriously, while he's holding his meetings at the Hardee's. Hang on. What was the place that you referenced yesterday from Jefferson
County?
Doesn't
everybody's dad eventually go to the Hardee's and that's where you hang out? Like, because my dad does that. He goes to the Hardee's and hangs out.
Tyler's on the stick, man. Like, I don't get. There's like, I think there's one in the entire county. I could be wrong. No,
there's every restaurant in the entire world in Jefferson County on that one. That within like a mile and a quarter.
Painter's dad
on 11E. There's 45 restaurants in a mile and a quarter.
Punishes people in Jefferson County by putting their face in the fry fryer if you don't pay him back with his campaign.
This got dark.
Jeff City Mafia.
Exactly. See, you know about the Jeff City Mafia. What's the place that you referenced yesterday, the delicious food place you used to go to?
The house? Waffle House?
No.
Lisa's Country Kitchen.
Okay, yeah, yesterday, I ended up catching lunch with somebody, and they were just like, by the way, Lisa's Country Kitchen?
Phenomenal.
Don't knock it.
Phenomenal.
Don't knock it.
70% of the vote says no, chili is not a soup. 30% say yes. David says it can't be because I am not a soup guy, but I love chili. So Melissa says chili's too thick to be a soup. It would definitely fall into the stew category. And LSU Matt says, Will Wade's clean.
Okay. Remind me, isn't LSU Matt also an Astros fan?
Yes, he is.
Okay, point taken. We head to the game. You want to play 656-9900. By the way, did you see the amazing troll job yesterday? Not making this a Mets segment, but did you see the amazing troll job by Noah Syndergaard?
I saw the Bregman thing, and then the Mets social media was all over it.
Game starts at 1:10, right? They announced George Springer at 1:08. Now batting for the Astros, leading off George Springer. Syndergaard doesn't toe the rubber till exactly 1:10, so there's two straight minutes of booze. Nice. The game start till 1:10, and Syndergaard just stares at Springer like, it's not 1:10, I'm not throwing this pitch.
Brian says you can't put soup on a hot dog. He's correct.
1-866-656-9900.
That's the best point made all morning.
Come on.
I mean,
why do we need facts to push our
can
narrative?
Can I tell you something? I make a spicy chicken noodle soup, and I put everything you put in a Petro into the spicy chicken noodle soup.
Can I just quickly say right now as we head to the reset, how many people are blowing the phones up right now to play the game? Plug the wheel up. We get a chance to hand things over to you. Clearly, I'm not winning anything today, so don't pick me, because if I give out clues to whatever game we're playing, you'll know you're probably taking the L today. 99.1, you're listening to The Sports Animal.